Okay, don't skip ahead. I'm going to talk to you about climate change. And I know it can get depressing or infuriating, but our show takes a different approach. It's Laura Lynch, and I'm the host of What on Earth, and we're all about solutions and hope. And I promise, no matter how overwhelming climate change might feel, we're with you on the journey to fix this mess. So listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
This story is a sensational one, one which probably belongs in a Netflix series.
Episode one was a year ago, a daring airport heist of gold bars, more than $20 million worth, carefully slipping through intense security shortly after arriving from Zurich. It was a cliffhanger. Until today, police in the Greater Toronto area announcing arrests and filling in some big holes in the plot. Welcome to Your World Tonight. I'm Susan Ormiston. It's Wednesday, April 17th, coming up on 6 p.m. Eastern. Also on the podcast.
This is the first time I see in the history of UAE how the rain come with too much.
Record-breaking rain in Dubai. It had some thinking that the UAE's attempts to provoke bigger rainstorms went overboard. But experts say the likely culprit is climate change. We're diving deeper into the federal budget and what a higher capital gains tax means for productivity. And we'll tell you why people getting cataract surgery at some Ontario clinics should keep an eye on the bill. It was the biggest gold heist in Canadian history, and one of the biggest anywhere, ever. Bars of pure gold stolen from an Air Canada cargo facility outside of Toronto. Today, police announced a major breakthrough, saying it was an inside job with ties to violent crime. Katie Nicholson has the details.
This isn't just about gold. This is about how gold becomes guns.
Crowded together around a podium, police from a joint Canada-U.S. task force began to spin a tale even they knew was worthy of Netflix.
This story is a sensational one.
Peel police had been on the case ever since 6,600 bars of pure gold valued at roughly $20 million were stolen from an Air Canada cargo facility. They knew the thieves used documents from a legitimate seafood shipment to pull off their ruse. Detective Sergeant Mike Mavity.
This duplicate airway bill was printed off from a printer within Air Canada Cargo.
And they even had surveillance video of the 5-ton truck pulling up to the dock and being loaded with the riches just hours after they had landed in Toronto. They even managed to map the route the truck took from the airport.
Eventually, as the truck travels north of Milton.
They thought they knew who the driver was. Trouble is, the trail had run cold. And then, a break in the case from across the border. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives Special Agent Eric DeGree.
This case started last September with a late-night traffic stop by the Pennsylvania State Police after a keen trooper noted some minor motor vehicle violations.
The trooper discovered 65 guns in his vehicle, meant, police say, to be smuggled into Canada. Turns out, the man they stopped was the same man Ontario police had been looking for. Today, police announced 19 charges had been laid against 9 people, 2 of them allegedly inside men, Air Canada cargo employees, including a manager, who's now one of 3 people wanted on a Canada-wide warrant. The other 6 have been arrested.
He actually led a tour for Peel Regional Police before we knew his involvement. And then we knew he was resigning, and he resigned in the summer of last year.
Police say they executed dozens of warrants and seized hundreds of thousands of dollars. But what about all that gold?
We believe that they've melted down the gold, and then the profits they got from the gold they used to help finance the firearm, obviously purchasing the illegal firearms and that, and provide transportation and accommodation and that to get them up here.
There was a little gold left over, a handful of crudely formed gold bangles, worth just $90,000. Now evidence in a case broken wide open, but police say far from closed. Katie Nicholson, CBC News, Toronto.
Yesterday's federal budget included billions of dollars in new spending. To offset some of that, the government proposed an increase in the capital gains tax. It was billed as a way for wealthier Canadians to help their fellow citizens. But some critics say this may actually stifle productivity and innovation and end up hurting average Canadians. Nisha Patel has more.
We're making Canada's tax system more fair.
It's a change that has everyone in the business world talking. The federal government will start taxing a much bigger chunk of the profits Canadian companies make on the sale of their assets. The capital gains tax had applied to half of the profit pie. Now it would be on two-thirds. That's got Dennis Darby worried. He represents Canadian manufacturers.
We've had a lot of difficulties attracting investment over the years. I don't think this will make it any better.
Darby warns it's the wrong signal to send when the country is already in a productivity crisis.
Well, the government has a lot of explaining to do.
That's Dan Kelly, the president of the Canadian Federation of Independent Business. While the budget contains new tax breaks for some entrepreneurs, only half of all small businesses will be eligible to claim them.
There's a list of exemptions as long as my arm of different business sectors that are not going to get that additional $2 million. And that includes restaurants, hotels, doctor's offices.
Still, economists like Lindsay Tedds welcomed the move, saying back in the 1990s, the capital gains tax rate was at or above these levels.
This is not a major innovation-biting tax change treatment. And in fact, when you talk to real grassroots entrepreneurs that are setting up businesses, tax rates do not come into their decision.
But Benjamin Bergen, president of the Canadian Council of Innovators, says the measures caught the tech sector off guard.
We're struggling to access capital to the same extent that American, you know, firms are. We struggle to be able to, you know, keep talent here.
The hike would also be applied to individuals for capital gains earnings above $250,000 in a year. There's some concern the changes would impact startup workers who are often paid in stock options, driving them away from Canada.
The way that this is being structured is it makes it punitive to the point where individuals are questioning whether or not they should remain in this country.
Not everyone facing the tax hike agrees. Ali Asaria founded the website well.ca.
The best entrepreneurs are still going to build great companies in the country that makes the most sense for them. And Canada is the best place to build a company right now.
He says the tax changes make for a more level playing field, which he says is only fair. Nisha Patel, CBC News, Toronto.
A rare sight in Ottawa. For the first time in more than a century, an individual was called before MPs inside the House of Commons, compelled to answer questions. A month ago, businessman Christian Firth testified before a Commons committee. His company is at the heart of the ArriveCan app scandal. He wasn't saying much then, and some MPs demanded more answers. Rafi Bujikanian reports.
You are attending the bar of the House for being found in contempt. You are here today by order of this House to receive an admonishment.
A call seldom heard inside the House of Commons. Few Canadians have been charged with contempt of Parliament, and Christian Firth is only the second person in more than a century who's also been asked to answer questions. But just before that started, Liberals revealed Firth's lawyer had written a letter to Parliament pointing out their client's mental health issues, citing a doctor's opinion saying Firth is not currently up to answering questions. Steve McKinnon is Liberal House leader.
On this side of the House, we do not believe that it is appropriate to question Mr. Firth if he is not medically able to participate.
McKinnon went further, castigating the Conservatives for not heeding the letter's contents.
The Leader of the Opposition is giving us a demonstration of his character, and Canadians should pay careful attention.
But all opposition parties saw fit to go forward with questions. Conservative Michael Barrett first up.
Has the government asked Mr. Firth to repay the money paid to GC Strategies on ArriveCan?
No, they have not.
Earlier this year, an Auditor General report found the company may have been paid around $20 million by the federal government for subcontracting work on the pandemic-era ArriveCan app. That is a number disputed by Firth at a parliamentary committee last month where answers had also been scarce.
Who did you communicate with from the Government of Canada
while you were helping to create that criteria?
The committee has subpoenaed me here to speak on behalf of things that I can talk about. Also, my understanding is these allegations have been moved to the RCMP.
He frequently cited the Mountie's involvement, even as he commented he was not under investigation himself. The RCMP did conduct a search warrant at a private residence yesterday, it confirmed in a statement to CBC News. The location west of Ottawa has previously been listed as an office for GC Strategies. The RCMP has said some aspects of the ArriveCan app are under investigation, but also said yesterday's search was not related to ArriveCan.
Media reports that Mr. Firth's property was raided by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. What crime are they investigating?
There was a search warrant, not an arrest warrant.
Today, Firth admitted electronic devices were seized from the property in relation to work done by a subcontractor named Butler AI. GC had tapped for other public contracts related to the Canada Border Services Agency, while the Mounties would only say no charges have been laid and their investigation is ongoing. Rafi Bujikani, CBC News, Ottawa.
Ottawa is trying to make it easier for dentists to provide services under the National Dental Care Plan. Dentists have been slow to sign up, with many saying it's because of too much red tape. Health Minister Mark Holland says the program now allows dentists to take part without having to enroll.
It will operate just like any other system, any other plan. And what I'm saying to dentists is try it once. Once you see how easy it is and how it functions like any other insurance plan, then keep doing it. And you can use it as a one-off. There's no need to commit to anything.
1.7 million Canadians have already enrolled to get their dental care paid for. Coming up, going to an eye clinic? Some patients say they're being upsold on services already covered by provincial health plans. Now they're out of pocket. Also, Boeing's in the spotlight again as a whistleblower alleges it cuts production corners. And speaking of flying, the runways at Dubai's airport, they look more like a lake this week after severe flooding. A whistleblower from Boeing says the airplane manufacturer cut corners in its production that could cause catastrophic failures. Today at a high-profile U.S. Senate committee hearing, the engineer testified one model could break apart mid-flight. It comes after a series of alarming incidents involving the company's planes. Katie Simpson brings us the new allegations from Washington.
This story is serious, even shocking.
Senator Richard Blumenthal set the tone as he welcomed four witnesses into the committee hearing room, where they made disturbing allegations that Boeing cut corners to meet production targets while punishing employees who spoke out.
That they call you on your personal phone to let you know that they know where you live, they know where you are, and they can hurt you.
The key witness was Sam Selpour, an engineer turned whistleblower who says Boeing has major defects with its assembly line production. For example, he says with the 787 Dreamliner, he witnessed plane parts being forced together when they required additional detailing.
I literally saw people jumping on the pieces of the airplane to get them to align. I call it the Tarzan effect.
Selpour says after raising concerns for years, he was isolated, told to shut up, and threatened. He says one of the tires on his vehicle was punctured by a metal object. A mechanic told him it was no accident, though he can't prove it happened at work.
You know, if something happens to me, I am at peace because I feel like by coming forward, I will be saving a lot of lives and I'm at peace. Whatever happens, it happens.
Boeing's safety record is under immense government scrutiny. Most recently, after an incident on board an Alaska Air flight where a door plug was ripped off the plane mid-flight.
Flying commercial remains the safest way to travel. But understandably, recent incidents have left the flying public worried. The perception is things are getting worse.
Senator Ted Cruz was part of a second unrelated hearing also examining Boeing's record, a committee created in the wake of two deadly crashes involving the 737 MAX 8 aircraft, one in 2018 and the other in 2019, killing 346 people. A team of experts, including aerospace engineer Javier DeLuis, who lost his sister in the second crash, examined Boeing's manufacturing practices. They, too, found problems after questioning workers on the assembly line.
How do you know that you're doing a safe thing? And we got like, you know, deer in the headlights there. What are you talking about? Oh, safety, we got production metrics, we got this metric, but there wasn't anything about that.
In a statement to CBC News, Boeing refuted some of the whistleblower claims, saying retaliation is strictly prohibited. It is fully confident in the safety of its 787 Dreamliner and that it's taking steps to foster a safety culture in the workplace. Katie Simpson, CBC News, Washington.
It's mostly desert, but this week, a part of the world that gets little rain is getting a deluge. The downpour in the United Arab Emirates and neighboring Oman has left 20 dead. The runways at Dubai's airport resemble a shallow lake. The chaos is raising questions about a technique known as cloud seeding. Thomas Daigle explains.
Passengers crowded around the Emirates airline desk at Dubai International Airport, anxious to know when or if they'll finally fly out. Usually the world's busiest for international travel, today officials urged people to avoid the airport unless absolutely necessary, as flooding disrupted more flights and left passengers with more questions.
It's a total difficult situation. I want to go home.
Kanish Kumar Deb Barman stopped in Dubai for what was supposed to be a brief layover.
There are thousands of other passengers just like me in this airport who have been waiting for 10 hours, 16 hours, some even for 24 to 30 hours.
Known for its skyscrapers built in the Arabian desert, yesterday the city got dumped with more rain in 24 hours than it typically sees in a whole year. Other parts of the United Arab Emirates got more rain in a day than ever recorded. All of it overwhelming drainage systems and flooding roads as water poured into homes and shopping malls. Video of a police officer rescuing a cat clinging to the door handle of a flooded car went viral.
Okay, let's go.
But for residents, this historic mess was no joke.
Everything was very, very flooded. You've seen all the abandoned cars.
This is the first time I see in the history of UAE how the rain come with too much, you know.
For some observers, the rare downpour raised questions about the country's practice of cloud seeding. That's a technique used in drier climates to boost rainfall. Clouds are implanted with minerals, and in the UAE, drones are sometimes sent to zap them with electric charges.
We cannot produce that amount of precipitation.
Katja Friedrich is an atmospheric scientist at the University of Colorado who studies cloud seeding. She doubts it had anything to do with this week's wild weather in the Gulf.
No one can really fly in those conditions to cloud seed. So that's another indication where I can for sure say that there was no cloud seeding involved in that.
Scientists blame human-led climate change for rising temperatures and more frequent extreme conditions like this desert storm. In Dubai, schools are closed for the week and people are being told to work from home as the usually arid Emirate only starts to dry out. Thomas Daigle, CBC News, Toronto.
Ukrainian officials are calling for more international help tonight after the deadliest Russian missile attack on the country in weeks. At least 17 people have been killed and dozens are wounded in the northern city of Chernihiv. As Briar Stewart tells us, it is a horrific scene that Ukraine's president says could have been avoided.
Video taken just after 9 this morning shows the moments after the initial missile strike. Half a dozen people waiting at a bus stop watched smoke rise in the distance. Then the sound of another missile and explosion sent them all diving to the ground. Ukraine says a hotel was destroyed in the attack. Several other buildings were damaged, including a hospital. 65-year-old Olga Pekuza wasn't at her apartment at the time. When she returned, all of her windows had been broken. All of it will be rebuilt, she said. The worst thing is that people died. Nobody will return them. This was the deadliest attack on the country in weeks and comes as Ukraine says it's desperately short of missile defense systems. President Volodymyr Zelensky said the military had only enough weapons to shoot down 7 of the 11 missiles that targeted a major power plant near Kyiv last week. Today, in a message posted online, he said the deadly attack in Chernihiv would not have happened if the country had more air defense equipment and if the world was determined to counter Russian terror.
But all Ukrainians have seen with their own eyes that if there is a will, there is a way.
Yuri Sak is an advisor to Ukraine's government and told CBC he's referring to the weekend attack on Israel, where the U.S., the U.K., and France helped down some 300 drones and missiles fired by Iran. While he acknowledges the situations are different, he says those on the ground can't help but make comparisons.
You know, military experts, perhaps it is easier for them to understand the nuances. For ordinary people, a lot of us felt abandoned and neglected.
Germany, which announced last week that it was sending an additional Patriot missile defense system to Ukraine, has urged dozens of other countries to step up their support. The Netherlands, the Czech Republic, and Denmark are considering it. Mette Frederiksen is the Danish prime minister.
We know we have systems in Europe. Some of them need now to be delivered into Ukraine.
NATO members will be discussing air defense with Ukraine on Friday, too. And that comes as the U.S. House of Representatives gets set to vote on a $60 billion military aid package to Ukraine that's been stalled in Congress. Briar Stewart, CBC News, London.
British Foreign Secretary David Cameron says Israel is planning a response to Iran's attack last weekend. Iran launched a barrage of drones and missiles in what it called self-defense after the bombing of its embassy in Syria. Cameron says he's in Jerusalem to show solidarity with Israel.
But it's clear the Israelis are making a decision to act. We hope they do so in a way that does as little to escalate this as possible. But the real need is to refocus back on Hamas, back on the hostages, back on getting the aid in, back on getting a pause in the conflict in Gaza.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has not said yet how his country will respond. Toronto Raptors player Jonte Porter has been banned for life from the NBA. The league says Porter gave sensitive information to bettors to use when gambling on games. It also alleges he limited his own participation in several games for betting purposes and even bet against his own team. Raptors president Masai Ujiri says the team had no idea what the 24-year-old was up to when they signed him in December.
This was nothing we could know about, and I think all of that is under the NBA's investigation, you know, like, so we go out there and try to do the best due diligence we can, you know, like with everybody individually, and we did that with Jonte too.
Porter is the first NBA player ever banned for gambling. Some patients in Ontario are paying hundreds and thousands of dollars for eye surgeries in private clinics that are already covered by provincial health plans. And it's happening in other provinces, too. Health advocates call it predatory upselling. Christine Birak explains.
So corneal topography diagnostic test, $300 per eye.
63-year-old Kate Armstrong wants her money back.
People are blindly, excuse the pun, being ripped off.
In 2022, she was legally blind in one eye and with poor vision in the other. She says a surgeon, the head of a Toronto hospital eye center, told her if she went to his private for-profit clinic instead, she could get her cataract surgery faster. What he nor anyone mentioned was that the Ontario government pays for certain surgeries, including cataracts, in private clinics.
Are you okay to go ahead and sign that we're going to do the surgery? Absolutely. Yeah. Where do I sign?
Armstrong says the private clinic asked her to sign off on paperwork she could barely see or understand, in which she unknowingly waived her provincial coverage.
You know, how do you ask questions when you can't read?
Armstrong signed off on $1,200 in eye tests, over $3,000 for her first cataract surgery, and nearly $3,500 for the second.
$8,000 is not what I had, and I had to borrow it, and I had to cash in RRSPs for that.
Through a Freedom of Information request, CBC News found the Ontario government pays public hospitals about $500 per eye for that seven-minute surgery. It pays private for-profit clinics up to $1,300 for the same surgery, so patients don't have to pay.
Patients were told if they didn't pay, they would face extreme waits, waits that are flagrant lies.
Natalie Mira is executive director of the Ontario Health Coalition. Currently in Ontario, the longest average wait time for cataract surgery is 3.5 months. Mira says for-profit clinics are selling mostly vulnerable seniors on things like eye tests, drops, advanced lenses, and laser surgical equipment, all of which is covered under the provincial plan.
In fact, it's illegal. It's an offense under the Commitment to the Future Medicare Act. The clinics, the physicians, and anyone involved in doing it should be fined.
It's a common problem, and not just for eye care. The most recent Health Canada numbers show for-profit clinics charged Canadians nearly $80 million for a variety of medically necessary services in 2021. But Ontario's health minister insists. Sylvia Jones says most Ontarians aren't paying for surgeries with their credit cards.
A small group that have to have that investigation ultimately get reimbursed when appropriate and corrective action is taken.
The trust is gone.
Armstrong won't likely be reimbursed because she signed legally binding contracts. She says people need to understand private doesn't always mean out of pocket. Her advice, ask questions. Christine Burak, CBC News, Toronto.
Finally, we'll end off in Victoria, BC, because that's where Emerson keeps ending up.
I did get to know him last year. He's a character. He's highly intelligent.
He got taken away a couple of weeks ago, put in a big van, and he's found his way back.
Now, before you worry too much about who got stuffed in a van and driven off, Emerson is a 2-year-old elephant seal. He's going through a natural process called molting, when seals shed and regenerate their skin and whiskers. It needs to be done on shore, any shore, really. But Emerson has a thing for Victoria. It's full of humans and other threats to wildlife. Emerson crossed busy streets and climbed stairs. But despite being relocated 4 times, he just keeps coming back. Most recently, Emerson was taken more than 150 kilometers away, only to reappear just 5 days later. The persistence may be paying off. Rather than go through the motions of another relocation, fishery officials will let Emerson try to molt in Victoria. People are being urged not to approach and keep their dogs on a leash when they're nearby. I'm Susan Ormiston, and that's Your World Tonight for April 17th.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.